last week's lesson and this week's lesson are very important lessons concerning the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We went over some of his names last week. Also, he's called the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, simply the Spirit, and also the God of Peace. And we're in the coming up on studying what Luke wrote concerning what took place on the day of Pentecost, which is recorded in the second chapter of Acts. That's where we'll be getting to. I don't think we might not get all the way there today. But the things that we've been discussing about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, they didn't know that. We got to kind of, if we're going to put ourselves in their time frame, we got to realize that we know a lot more about it than they did. They didn't know when it was going to happen, when the Holy Ghost was going to come, what would take place exactly. But they know they were supposed to be in Jerusalem, and they were supposed to wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. If you go back to, we'll read this verse probably several times, but Luke 24:49 is, we're studying what Luke wrote in Scripture, and he wasn't there at this time, but he interviewed a lot of people to find out what took place back then. And Jesus, after his resurrection, told his followers in Luke 24:49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." In Acts 1:8, Jesus had told them, and they heard this. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." They didn't grasp what all that meant, but they knew it was going to happen. They had the faith to believe it was going to happen. So they were about 120 of them, we find in Acts 1:15, gathered together waiting for this promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus had told his apostles on the night of the Last Supper something that's found in John 14:16 and 17, a familiar portion of Scripture, I think, to most of us. And he was telling them about the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. And he said there in John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Underline that in your Bible. "Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And of course, we know they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And that was when he went from being with them to being in them. We should take note that the Holy Ghost dwelleth with all believers, but not all believers have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's why Paul asked those disciples, those believers, in Acts 19:2, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And if you go back there and read that story, they didn't even know that there was a Holy Ghost. And they didn't even know, as a believer, the Holy Ghost dwelleth with you, but they hadn't received him in them, okay? But in Acts 19:6, after being informed about the Holy Ghost, these dozen or so disciples received the Holy Ghost, meaning the Holy Ghost was now in them, and they knew it. And they felt it because of what we read in Acts 19:6. It says, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. That's one of the signs and evidence of having received the Holy Ghost, that he is in you. It is speaking with tongues as the Holy Ghost gives the utterance. It was again on the day of Pentecost, which we're studying about in Acts 2, when the Holy Ghost was sent from heaven by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As he said in John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So we just answered this question, but how did they know? Because they didn't know that much about the Holy Ghost, really. Just these little snippets that we're reading in Scripture from John. How did they know the Holy Ghost was in them? And the answer is found in Acts 2:4. It says in Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 10 for a minute. You find that chapter deals with Peter going to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. Peter was never sent to the Gentiles, but at this particular instant, he was sent to the house of a Gentile named Cornelius. And in Acts 10:44, Peter was speaking at this after much encouragement from the Lord. He was speaking in the house of Cornelius. And in Acts 10:44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, he's speaking to Gentiles there in that house, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that is the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God in verse 46. Peter and those few Jews with him, there was no doubt that they had received the Holy Ghost. These Gentiles at the house of Cornelius, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. If you'll take the time to study to study Acts 11:1-18, we find that the news of Peter going to the house of a Gentile named Cornelius, the news of this reached Jerusalem before Peter even got back there. You know, Peter went to a house of a Gentile. And so Peter defended himself. And you'll read there in Acts 11 how Peter rehearses to those in Jerusalem what took place at the house of Cornelius. And if starting in Acts 11:15, Peter says, and as I begin to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? So how did Peter, again, know that the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Acts 10:46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. As we stated here in a few minutes ago, the Holy Ghost dwelleth with all believers, but not all believers have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And again, Acts 19:2 asks the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? As you may know, most of you do, I grew up here in this meeting called Living Waters Tabernacle. I think my parents brought me here in 1951. That's when they started attending. So I've been over here in this meeting, first in the little white church and the red church across the street, and then in this meeting for the last 51 years in this building. I've witnessed during these 70 years, many receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues as the Holy Ghost gives the utterance. And I think all of you that's been here and have attended the meeting have witnessed the same thing. The sign and evidence of having received the gift of the Holy Ghost is speaking with tongues as the Holy Ghost gives the utterance. And you will know it when that happens. And others around you will know it. And there will be no doubt in your mind as to whether you've received the Holy Ghost or not. You don't have to rely on somebody saying, well, I think you got it back when, way back when. That ain't the way it works. You will know it, and you will remember it. It won't be a fuzzy memory. It'll be vivid, okay? If you think you were filled with the Holy Ghost the moment you got saved, you're mistaken, and that's improper teaching. And I know a lot of people believe that. Receiving Jesus as your personal Savior is not the same as receiving the Holy Ghost. It's two separate events. There are a few that have got saved and then, same day, received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But those two events do not happen simultaneously. I mean, maybe you know did somebody, but I don't. Okay, one must first be saved before one can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And here's something that's interesting. Being, quote, filled with the Holy Ghost, unquote, it's a scriptural term, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's found 8 times in the Bible, and in Acts 2:4, which we just read, is one of the 8 scriptures. Acts 2:4 again says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we've been studying about Luke. You know, and Luke, I think one of the things that impressed Luke and caused him to write these things was the Holy Ghost, of course. But he wrote a lot about the Holy Ghost. And it was Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke. It was Luke who wrote the book called the Acts of the Apostles. And it was Luke who wrote the phrase, filled with the Holy Ghost. That phrase is found in 8 scriptures. Okay, I want you to go back to Luke 1. I'll give you some references. 3 of the filled with the Holy Ghost scriptures are found in Luke 1. And the other 5 filled with the Holy Ghost scriptures are found in the book of Acts. The 3 scriptures that mention the phrase filled with the Holy Ghost in Luke 1, they are associated with John the Baptist, before he was even born, and his parents, Elizabeth and Zacharias. I got to stop Bill for a second. Al Schmidt was one of my Sunday school teachers way back in the 50s. And we had some older boys in the class that were, they probably should have been in the next class because they were a bad influence on us younger ones. And Al asked the question, anybody know who John the Baptist parents were? One of the older boys says, yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Baptist. Well, that wasn't the answer he was looking for. He was looking for Elizabeth and Zacharias. I always will remember that. That's what I mean. It was a bad influence on me. Like, who's Moses' parents? Mrs. and Mrs. Moses, you know? No. These three were noted by Luke, Elizabeth, and Zacharias, and John the Baptist. They were noted by Luke to be filled with the Holy Ghost way, way, way before the day of Pentecost, when the 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost that we read of in Acts 2. And you can read about that there in Luke 1. We just read what happened on the day of Pentecost to the 120 on the day of Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And began to speak with other tongues. There in Acts 2:4, as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's a difference. The speaking in other tongues didn't happen to John the Baptist and his parents Elizabeth and Zacharias when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the reason for this is brought out to us by Peter in 2 Peter 1:21. And we've mentioned this before, even in this study on the man Luke. 2 Peter 1:21. It gives us a clue, the answer to how ones like John the Baptist and Elizabeth and Zacharias could be filled with the Holy Ghost. And it says in 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Peter was writing here about the Old Testament prophets. And if you take the time to study out who the Old Testament prophets were, you'll find it included even the likes of Enoch, Abraham, Moses, even David. You'll see that in Acts 2:29 and 30 when we get there. And all the rest of the Old Testament prophets, even John the Baptist and his parents, even Christ Jesus. So this scripture that we read in 2 Peter 1:21 informs us that these holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We don't read that any of them spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, because that is the New Testament sign that one has been filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? So why did Luke record that John the Baptist and his parents, Elizabeth and Zacharias, were filled with the Holy Ghost? Why did he write that? Because they, like the Old Testament prophets, spoke prophecies as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And thus, prophecies that they spoke is what Luke recorded in Scripture, the Holy Ghost-inspired Scripture that he allowed Luke to write. You'll find that in Luke 1, 41 through 45, what Elizabeth had to say. Also in Luke 1, 67 through 79, what Zacharias had to say. These were prophecies concerning Christ. I hope you're all familiar with what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The agency of the Trinity that gave us this inspiration of God is the Holy Ghost. He's the inspirer of Scripture. And Acts 1:16, if you'll go back there and look at that, we talked about this in previous lessons. It tells us how the Holy Ghost inspired David to write what he wrote. And it says there in Acts 1:16, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake." So David wrote things as he was inspired of the Holy Ghost. Now, these apostles of Jesus were not experts on the Holy Ghost while Jesus was with them. They didn't know what you guys know. The very first thing Jesus told his disciples about the Holy Ghost on the night of the Last Supper is recorded in John 14:16. And we read this, and it says there again, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." So, we talked about this last week too. How long is forever? Till a certain point in time in the future? No, it's forever. Now think about this. if Jesus, even after his resurrection, spoke commandments unto his chosen apostles through the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost, what power should we yield to both now and forever? We should yield to the same thing. It says in Acts 1:2, "Until the day," in speaking of Jesus, "in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." He gave them some commandments after he was raised from the dead. His words were inspired still from the Holy Ghost. If Jesus needed the inspiration of the Holy Ghost forever, you do too. Okay, let's just put it that way. It will take the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives to make us ready to be in the bride of Christ. You ain't going to get there any other way. Okay? And it will continue to take the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives throughout eternity to empower us to be like Christ and to rule and reign with him in the kingdom of God. There ain't going to be a bunch of us up there, even in the bride of Christ, saying, "Hey, I think this would be a good idea." And the idea better be from the Holy Ghost, okay? So truly, the Holy Ghost will abide with us forever, and we will forever need his empowerment and guidance. And we need that right now. We need that every day, every hour, every minute. We need him to give us the right thoughts to think, the right vision to have, to be looking forward to his soon coming. Okay? So again, the scripture that we've kind of been redundant going over again, John 14:16-17, Jesus says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." I'm giving you bonus information here that might be a little bit too much, but years ago when we did our meaning of the Bible's numbers study, we learned there was a number associated with the Holy Ghost. You remember what it was? No, that's Pentecost. 50 is the number of Pentecost. That's associated with the Holy Ghost too. Okay, one is the number that also is associated with God the Father. Two is a number that's associated with Jesus, the second person in the Trinity. Three is a number that's also associated with the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Trinity. And then as we went on with our number study, we learned that there were 27 more things associated with the Holy Ghost. And if you think about it, 27 is 3 times 3 times 3. 3 times 3 is 9 times 3 is 27. I can't make this stuff up. There are 27 things that concern the Holy Ghost. They are points of comfort. They are things that are available to the Spirit-filled believer. Those who were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost had no idea about what they were about to receive. They had no idea that there were 27 things here, points of comfort, available to the Spirit-filled believer. They had very little idea what to expect on the day of Pentecost, other than what Jesus told them in Luke 24:49, which we started out with this morning, which says, this is Jesus' words, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So they knew they were supposed to wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost and that they would be endued with power from on high. But they didn't know most of the facts that we just considered in the last couple of weeks about the Holy Ghost. So what did they know? They knew a few things. Go back to Luke 3:16, you'll find that they had a vague idea about the Holy Ghost. From what John the Baptist told them, you can read what John the Baptist told them in Matthew 3:11, also in Mark 1:8, and in Luke 3:16, also in John 1:33. And in Luke 3:16, which I had you turn to, here's what John the Baptist said. "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." This was a prophecy of John the Baptist. They knew this. It was kind of in the back of their mind that Jesus, the one that would come after him, after John the Baptist, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." That hadn't happened to them yet before we get to Acts chapter 2. And then if you'll go and look again in John 16, verse 12, and Jesus told the 11 remaining apostles there the night of the Last Supper in John 16, 12, "I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." Well, they had been with Jesus for 3+ years in his public ministry, and here he tells them that he had many more things to tell them, but he's telling them, you're not spiritually equipped to receive these deeper truths that only the Holy Ghost could help them bear. He was trying to get them to get to the next level, if you will. In John 16, 13, Jesus continues, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth," that's another name of the Holy Ghost, "is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Jesus was informing them here that the Holy Ghost would be necessary in their lives to guide them into all truth, and to further reveal unto them future events. John 16, 14. Jesus continues to tell them about the Holy Ghost. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So we find that the Holy Ghost would show them the deeper truths that they were not yet equipped to bear. This was the point that Jesus was emphasizing here. I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear it yet. And then, again, we can read the next two verses again, because this is Jesus is emphasizing the same point. And I will pray the Father, in John 14:16, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. We discussed earlier the sign and evidence that the Holy Ghost was manifest to be in them was their speaking with tongues as the Holy Ghost gave the utterance. But prior to the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, they had no idea about all this, how that was going to happen, that they'd be speaking with other tongues or any of this. Jesus had told them in John 14:26, this brief statement concerning the Holy Ghost. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Then if you go to John 15:26 and 27, Jesus adds a little bit more to their knowledge of things concerning the Holy Ghost. John 15:26, speaking of the Holy Ghost, whom he's called the Comforter here, he says, But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Ghost was necessary in their life for them to be a witness of what they had seen and done with Jesus. Certainly, Jesus' apostles, including Matthias, who they chose in Acts 1, had been with Jesus from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And probably so had the majority of the 120 that we find in Acts 1:15. They'd probably been with Jesus too. When Jesus came into town, he wasn't by himself. He was always with his entourage. And they all knew that's Jesus. They didn't know what that meant. Some of them did. The ones that were following him did. Okay, and then one more fact that these 120 knew is what Jesus said to them in Acts 1:8. And you know this verse. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Other than this, they knew little about the Holy Ghost than these few scriptures we've just read. They didn't know what you know. So to put ourselves back into their mode of thinking, we have to think, well, they didn't know very much about the Holy Ghost. They knew they would receive power after the Holy Ghost came upon them, but they had no idea how this felt, how they would know it. They didn't know exactly what to expect. Nor did they know the exact timing of when the Holy Ghost would be sent. They knew where they were supposed to be, in Jerusalem, waiting. When's the Lord coming again? We're to be looking for him, like Bill said, now. But we don't know when that moment in time will be. But we know we need to be looking for him. We need to love his appearing. That's why we're here. That's why we think on these things. When you wake up in the middle of the night, you think, well, maybe you're coming now. Maybe you're coming today. But we're still here. Keep our minds on you, Lord. And so we kind of get a little idea. Maybe they didn't know anything about how this felt to be with the empowered with the Holy Ghost. We do. All indications from Acts 1:15 and Acts 2:1 is that there was 120 who had the faith to believe what Jesus had told them in Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And I don't think they left. They didn't know when this was going to happen. Okay, so let's go to Acts 2:1 and examine, and we will examine this in painful detail, perhaps, what happened on the day of Pentecost that's recorded in Acts 2, where is told the story of how the promised Holy Ghost was sent, as Jesus stated in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And in Acts 2:1 then we read, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. But did they know that that was the day that the Holy Ghost was going to be sent? No, didn't know it yet. Did they know the bell was going to ring and we were going to be done? Well, Lord willing, we'll pick up in Acts 2 next week.